with the 14th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the week of the 2017 NFL Draft that is taking place right in our backyard here in Philadelphia. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome indeed to the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. And I'm joined, as always, by Fran Duffy and Alex Smith. Gentlemen, are you ready?
I'm super ready. I know Fran's been ready for a long time.
That's an understatement, of course.
I feel like I'm just going to have to, you know, bring a tent and just live down at the Parkway because I'm going to be down there all 3 days, and I don't know, you know, what the traffic's going to be like around there. But no, I'm really, really excited for this. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
I've been waiting 51 weeks for this week, and it is finally here. I'm excited.
So real quick, we want to preview what we have coming up for you this week here on our digital and social channels. Alex Smith, as you said, will be on site at the NFL draft starting on Thursday for round one. We'll have our preview show, which I'll be co-hosting with Ike Reese. That's going to drop on our app and site on Wednesday. We're going to have some film breakdown with Fran Duffy and Greg Cosell, a one-on-one exclusive with Joe Douglas. Certainly, you don't want to miss that. Thursday night, our Eagles Draft Central live coverage begins at 7:30 p.m., 1/2 hour before the start of the NFL draft. I'll be here in studio at the NovaCare Complex with Ross Tucker. Fran and Greg will be getting ready to do some film breakdown. Alex will be on the scene. Dave Spadaro will be embedded in the draft room. Folks, you do not want to miss it. We're going to have wall-to-wall coverage and bring you a lot of exclusive stuff that you're not going to get anywhere else but right here from the Eagles channels on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the Eagles mobile app, and our social media outlets. So we're going to get things rolling here on this week's edition of the Journey to Draft podcast presented by AAA. It is the mock draft edition. So we talked to
you can never have too many mock drafts.
You can't have it. Of course not.
But this is the official Eagles mock.
We do one. Okay. We only do one. We talk about a bunch of them, but we do one ourselves. And it's not the three of us doing it. We solicited the opinions of respected writers and anchors and reporters from around the country who cover these different teams. And we got some tremendous and very interesting results at the end of it.
Yes, we did.
And then when we get to number 14, we're going to bring in our good friend Tommy Lawler, the Fandemonium columnist himself, who just did an Eagles-only mock for PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Would that mock hold based on what happens in our reporter mock draft? He's going to make the selection number 14. The three of us are then going to debate some other possible options there for the Eagles. And then last but not least, we'll get to your questions in our pick six. Our man Brian Thomas is holding things down behind the glass, producing the fine show. But let's get into our mock draft in today's Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, I'm not going to try my Roger Goodell impersonation or anything like that here, but for the mock draft, let's just get things rolling here. With the first pick in the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft, the Cleveland Browns, thanks to Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, select defensive end Myles Garrett, Texas A&M.
Stunner. A shocking pick.
Well, it is big because of all the kerfluffle about the
kerfluffle,
about
yes.
The Browns potentially going elsewhere with Mitch Trubisky or Deshaun Watson. So good to and nobody covers the Browns as well as Mary Kay Cabot does. So getting her insight into the pick is big.
Her only other option would be Mitchell Trubisky, but when it comes to Garrett, he's a surefire impact player. She has been told that Garrett is a once in a generation type of pass rusher. So the Browns need good football players. They will get one with Myles Garrett.
And it does seem that all the reports are that the coaches want Myles Garrett. There are people in the front office that want a quarterback. So we'll see. But I like the pick.
All right, so number two. This is where the draft, I think, really begins. So John Middlecoff, former Eagle scout. He's now a radio host in the Bay Area. He's going to make the pick for the 49ers. And with the second pick in the Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft, the 49ers take cornerback Marshon Lattimore, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
That is really, really surprising. I think this is our first big surprise in this draft. He hasn't really been tied all that closely to the 49ers throughout the process. John made the pick. I saw Todd McShay on ESPN made that pick for the San Francisco 49ers in the Mel and Todd mock draft last week on ESPN. But really, you haven't really seen these two connected all that much. I think this would be really, really impressive or really, really interesting. When I talked to John about this pick, he said the Niners desperately need defensive help. They cut Tremaine Brock after his arrest, and Marshawn Lattimore has the highest upside of the DBs in this draft. So very interesting to see them not go with a quarterback. He didn't see a defensive lineman. Some have mocked Solomon Thomas there. He mentioned Jonathan Allen as the other option because he's got a high ceiling, and he mentioned – the 49ers cannot afford to miss on this pick. So very interesting, Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I think Marshawn Lattimore is a good player. My question is he the second best player in this draft? I look at some of the other names that you mentioned. Jonathan Allen, obviously. He was the hot pick for number two, you know, for a long time. And now it seems like Solomon Thomas is that guy. So I just feel like Solomon Thomas, obviously, you know, he's a West Coast guy as well. Playing at Stanford. I feel like he'd be a really good fit there. I know the Niners have drafted, the last 2 years they've gone defensive line in the first round. So the question is, would they go that route again? But I just think that Solomon Thomas and Jonathan Allen would be two really good fits for them.
Of course, it's a new defensive scheme. So it kind of almost not eliminates but somewhat negates those picks they made the last couple of years with Buckner and Eric Armstead. All right, let's go to number three. The Chicago Bears are on the clock. Dan Durkin, the Bears writer for The Athletic in Chicago. You can follow him on Twitter at DJ Durkin. And with the third pick in our mock draft, the Chicago Bears select quarterback Deshaun Watson, Clemson.
Philadelphia erupts in jubilation.
Indeed.
First quarterback off the board. That's huge. Obviously, the Eagles fans are, you got to hope as many quarterbacks as possible go in the top 13.
Yeah, and just to give a little teaser, I think the fans would be even more happy with some of the other quarterback moves that we see coming up here in the next few picks or so.
Don't spoil it.
It's a tease. It's a tease. It's a tease, guys.
Well, when I asked Dan about Deshaun Watson, he said that really the big thing that kind of fuels this pick, and he does believe that the Deshaun Watson will be the pick on Thursday night, he thinks it's because of the supply and demand at the quarterback position. He thinks that there's going to be a lot of heat on these quarterbacks on Thursday night. He said that if they were given this situation, they would be really torn between Watson and Solomon Thomas. He thinks if he were the GM, he would pick Solomon Thomas. They need more pass rush from their three down linemen. Thomas' ability to win inside gives him an edge, but he thinks that they ultimately will go with the quarterback, and he thinks it will be Deshaun Watson.
That is crazy, especially for John Fox, someone who kind of needs a win now.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson is definitely not a day one victory move for the Bears. All right, number four, the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. Mike Kay, the Jaguars beat writer for First Coast News in Jacksonville, will make the selection. And with the fourth pick in our mock draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Solomon Thomas, defensive lineman, Stanford.
Yeah, another defensive move here for the Jaguars. Of course, you know, the hot pick here is Leonard Fournette. But for Mike Kay and why he made this pick, he said the Jaguars want to employ a platoon of rotations up front on the defensive line. Thomas is versatile, can be used all over the place on that line as a rookie. He's only 21, but he's already a terrific run defender, has a ton of upside as a pass rusher as well. Some of the other names that he considered, Leonard Fournette and John Allen here. And again, guys, Leonard Fournette, I think, is kind of the sexy pick here, but the Jags go defense with Solomon Thomas.
If you are an Eagles fan that wants Christian McCaffrey here at 14, you love this pick here by Jacksonville.
Indeed. So number five, the Tennessee Titans are on the clock. Our good friend Charles Davis from NFL Network, who calls the Titans games in the preseason, very well versed with all the teams, but even more so with the Titans. So he's going to make the pick for us here. So with the fifth pick in the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft, the Tennessee Titans select defensive lineman Jonathan Allen, Alabama.
Very, very interesting. And you see now you've got Jonathan Allen and Solomon Thomas go off the board back-to-back. Charles said that they need to get better on defense, and that is still the goal. Have to keep getting after Andrew Luck and slow down that running attack down in Houston with Lamar Miller. He did consider a top-rated wide receiver like a Mike Williams or a Corey Davis, but ultimately he thinks the team would go with a Jonathan Allen. And it does seem like a John Robinson kind of selected. They went a little bit off the board a little bit last year when they traded up for Jack Conklin. I think I could definitely see that. I think that's very, very intriguing.
Yeah, I think it's a scenario for Tennessee, almost kind of similar to what the Eagles have here in building around a young quarterback. So when you have a player like Marcus Mariota who could be an absolute stud, I think you want to get him as many weapons as you can. So I look at that pick, and I think of a guy like O.J. Howard. I think he would be a perfect fit in Tennessee as a threat over the middle for him. But it's hard to knock this pick as well. Jonathan Allen's a really good player.
Very much a meat and potatoes selection there for the Titans. So thus far, one quarterback off the board, not the one we all would have expected. One cornerback off the board. The safeties are still there. And really, I guess the only surprise, the real surprise at this point, is that Watson is the first quarterback off the board. All right, the New York Jets are on the clock at number 6. Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News, Pennsylvania native, is going to make the selection here for us. And with the 6th pick in our Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft, the New York Jets select running back Leonard Fournette.
Wow.
LSU.
I mentioned earlier that you were really happy if you want Christian McCaffrey for the Eagles because you saw Jacksonville pass on Fournette. Take that out, throw it out the window, because now the fact that Fournette goes off the board at 6 to New York, probably the biggest surprise so far, I would say, in the first 6 picks.
Mehta reasons that Fournette is a once-in-a-generation talent. He is simply too good to pass up. He will be a game-changer from day one on one of the league's worst offenses. Some of the other players in consideration: Gerrion Conley, Jamal Adams, and Malik Hooker. So secondary pretty much there. Did not mention taking Mitchell Trubisky there, surprisingly enough.
And everybody's kind of, looking to them in terms of the quarterback position. I would be surprised. They just spent that second round pick on Christian Hackenberg. It seems really early to say, you know what, that was a waste of a pick. We've got a replacement already.
How do you think the Jets fans will react to Leonard Fournette? I know the draft isn't even in New York, but I'm sure the Jets fans will be very loud either way.
I think they should be happy with this.
It's very surprising. They have so many needs, and I don't know if Fournette's
but
the right way to go.
It's a sexy name. It's a skilled position player. It's going to ignite the offense. You have a lot of talented pieces on defense. If I'm a Jets fan, I'm probably going to react happily toward this. Whether it's the best choice or not, I'm not so sure, but regardless, if I'm a Jets fan, I'm probably going to be celebrating.
I think that their offensive coordinator, John Morton, he kind of comes from that Jim Harbaugh offense, so he's got the ability to be a smash-mouth run game, so that could make sense. Although, John Morton, college career, receiver at Western Michigan. Just making connections, just connecting dots here. But very interesting pick there, Leonard Fournette.
All right, so number 7, Dan Wojcicki from the Los Angeles Times is going to make the selection for the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm making sure that I'm not saying San Diego in there. And with the 7th pick in our 2017 Eagles reporter mock draft, the Chargers select safety Jamal Adams, LSU. The Tigers go back-to-back in the first round.
Everybody's been making the connection with Malik Hooker, but Jamal Adams certainly could. I mean, I think both those guys are 1A, 1B, and you could go either way with either player. But not a surprise you see a safety go off the board here at 7.
I would say here the most polished player. This is Wojcicki's reasoning for the pick. The most polished player in the secondary. Malik Hooker would also be in consideration, but Adams is too solid to pass up. If one of the defensive linemen were available, Solomon Thomas or Jonathan Allen, they would also be in the mix for Gus Bradley's defense. All right, so
one of the big picks here. This is big if you're an Eagles fan. This is at number 8 is a big slot.
All right, so we're gonna welcome in Jordan Roderick from the Charlotte Observer. She's going to make the selection for the Panthers, and with the 8th selection in the Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft, the Carolina Panthers select running back Christian McCaffrey, Stanford.
I am so intrigued to see what the fan reaction would be to this pick if Christian McCaffrey goes to Carolina, because there's a group of Eagles fans who desperately want Christian McCaffrey, and I think rightfully so. I think he's a great player. He can fit this offense, can do so many things for you on offense and on special teams. But there's another group that wants the Eagles to stay as far away from Christian McCaffrey, and really all running backs, but McCaffrey in general in the first round. So I'm very interested to see what the Eagles fan reaction would be to Christian McCaffrey going off the board at number 8. I know that I like him as an option for the Eagles at 14, so I'd be a little upset to see him go in the top 10.
You would be weeping in a corner, I think, if this were how it would play out. You want Leonard Fournette to fall to 8. If you want Christian McCaffrey, you may need Leonard Fournette to fall to the Panthers in this slot, and that's why this is one of the most pivotal slots in this draft if you're an Eagles fan.
So the Panthers, Rarik reasons, would get immediate help on offense, not just from a dynamic running back, but also a slot receiver as well. I would love him in midnight green. I'm not moving up to get him personally. I'm sure some fans are probably wondering if that's an option, knowing that he very well could go at number 8. Would love him at number 14, but it doesn't look like that he will be there unless Fournette slides to number 8.
I wonder if it's all a smokescreen, and I know that's the best word to use this time of the year, but I do think there's a chance that Carolina could go defensive line here if one of those guys, you know, if a Solomon Thomas or a John Allen falls. Maybe they're a team that takes a shot at O.J. Howard if he's still on the board to upgrade their offense. So I know Christian McCaffrey, everybody kind of looks at the Panthers and say, oh, they're going running back, running back, running back. I think there are some other options at play, so I'll be very interested to see how it goes down.
Rodrigue does note that O.J. Howard would be one of the other options if Fournette or McCaffrey were not on the board. All right, number 9, Catherine Terrell from ESPN will make the selection here. And with the 9th selection in the Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select defensive end Derek Barnett, Tennessee.
And another section of Eagles fans are very upset. Alex, I know you can say that there are a lot. There's probably a section of fans that would want Derek Barnett in Midnight Green. And this is another selection here at number 9. If you're an Eagles fan, I think it's probably 4, 6, 8, 9, and 11 are like the key slots to watch. And this is certainly one. Cincinnati taking Derek Barnett. It's very, very interesting. Adam, they do need some help pass rush. They need help at linebacker. So this it makes sense.
She said pass rush was the team's biggest need. You know, he could be a situational pass rusher in year one. But the other biggest need on offense, wide receiver, and Corey Davis could possibly be in play for the Bengals at number 9. Surprisingly enough, she did not mention O.J. Howard. There's been a lot of buzz between between O.J. Howard and the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, so let's go to number 10, Sal Capaccio, the Bills beat reporter and sideline reporter for WGR 550, makes a selection. And with the 10th pick in our Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft, the Buffalo Bills take safety Malik Hooker, Ohio State.
I was really shocked when Sal told me this would be the pick because I think everybody has kind of been connecting Mitch Trubisky to the Buffalo Bills. And I asked, I said, what's the reasoning with Malik Hooker? And he said, Sean McDermott wants to win right away. Taking a QB high is not winning right now because he won't play. He really values ball skills in his defense. They'd prefer to trade down, but if Hooker is there, I think that they would be ecstatic. He does say that the Mitch Trubisky interest is not smoke. They wanted to make sure that they did their due diligence on all of these quarterbacks just in case they fell in love with one throughout the process. So very interesting. Maybe there are people in Buffalo that cover the team and are very close that think maybe quarterback at 10 isn't exactly a sure thing. And if you're an Eagles fan, you're a little upset to hear that because you do want Buffalo to take a quarterback.
Yeah, I would just be extremely surprised if Buffalo's there at number 10 and Trubisky's on the board and they pass on him there. I think there's a chance maybe they could trade up if they need to move up higher into the top 5 or to pick number 6 or wherever it may be to make sure that they get him. But if he's on the board at number 10, I have a very hard time seeing Buffalo pass on him.
My whole thing with Buffalo is, what does Tyrod Taylor have to work with? You know, he has LeSean McCoy, but Sammy Watkins has not been healthy. There's really no one else. Charles Clay has been a disappointment. It's kind of like, you know, is he getting a fair shake? Is it really the quarterback? Is that what's holding the Buffalo Bills down? It's a new regime. You know, Sean McDermott now the head coach. So, you know, it would make sense that he would want defense. That's his bread and butter.
This is pure speculation on my part. I have nothing that would point me to this way. But I think that if you're Buffalo and if you're an Eagles fan, you're rooting for this to happen. If Trubisky makes it out of the top 4 and you love Mitch Trubisky, you're trying to trade with Tennessee, who's looking to pick up more picks and is always looking to try and get in front of the Jets and make sure that you get them. You obviously want to be ahead of Cleveland. There's been all the rumors about Cleveland wanting to trade up ahead of Buffalo. Eliminate that, trade up to number 5 and take them. I would agree with Alex.
I do. I will also say, guys, that I think wide receiver is a very interesting option, as C-Mac pointed out here, for Buffalo. And maybe they, if they do trade down, if that's what they're looking to do and they can move into the later part of the first round, maybe a John Ross is a really good fit for that offense. Tyrod Taylor is one of the best quarterbacks in the league at getting the ball downfield. He's got a very accurate arm on the deep ball. I think John Ross could be an interesting fit for them. I don't know about number 10, but if they move back, I think John Ross in Buffalo could be pretty interesting.
All right, the Saints are on the clock at number 11. Our friend Eric Galco from Optimum Scouting is going to make the pick. And with the 11th pick in the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft, the New Orleans Saints select defensive end Charles Harris, Missouri.
And I thought this was really interesting. He's one of the people, one of the draft insiders that is has talked with people and said that at least two teams have Charles Harris in the top 15 on their big boards. I think Charles Harris is definitely worthy of this selection. I know there are many in the media that don't think that. Charles, he says that the Saints need to add a corner and a pass rusher early in this draft. Pass rusher is a more pressing need, and Harris can complement Cam Jordan very well. Corner is very deep in this draft. The Saints could target Odoree Jackson or other corners late in round one. Obviously, they've been connected to the New England Patriots and Malcolm Butler as well. So I think it was very interesting to see Charles Harris. We saw Derek Barnett go. We've seen Jonathan Allen, Solomon Thomas, obviously Myles Garrett. Now they pluck another pass rusher here in Charles Harris. So he's not on the board for the Eagles at 14.
Yeah, and I think the Malcolm Butler drama is what makes this pick so interesting, because if they really think that they have a chance to get Malcolm Butler, then they shouldn't go cornerback here. At least I don't think they should. But it just seems like that situation's been dragging out for so long. You don't know what's going to happen, and they desperately need help in their secondary. So if it's a cornerback like a Marlon Humphrey or whoever it may be, Gary and Conley, I think, could be an option here as well. I really think that cornerback is the spot they need to address. It all just kind of hinges on that Malcolm Butler trade.
And I asked Eric what the other options would be, what he could see the Saints doing based off what he's heard. And he said Gary and Conley, Reuben Foster, and Mitch Trubisky. I thought that was very interesting as well, that he would think about, he thinks that the Saints would think about Mitch Trubisky in that slot. But this is why, I mean, you're talking Charles Harris, Gary and Conley, Reuben Foster. Those are all names that are being thrown around with the Eagles at 14. The Saints, I think, are as big a team to watch if you're an Eagles fan as any in this top 13.
All right, so the Cleveland Browns are on the clock once again. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com is going to make the second selection for the Browns as well. And quite honestly, this is a slam dunk. With this 12th selection in the Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft, the Cleveland Browns select Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina.
Yeah, I would imagine that this would probably be the case, especially if they're getting pressure to select a quarterback early. You push that aside for Myles Garrett at number one. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but just like we've talked about, guys, I think the odds of Trubisky being there at 12 might be a little lower than people think. So I do think that they may, if Trubisky's their guy and they definitely want him, they may have to move up somewhere into that top 10 range to get him. But in this scenario, yeah, it's an easy pick.
And most importantly, two quarterbacks now in the top 13.
Well, you mentioned that. Number 13, lucky number 13, the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. Tony Pauline from Draft Analyst is going to make the selection for us. And with the 13th pick on the eve of the Eagles selection in the Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft, the Arizona Cardinals select quarterback Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech.
Confetti is flying. Alex is throwing pens across the room. I think if you're an Eagles fan, you're assuming one quarterback's going to go in the top 13. You'd be happy with two. If three quarterbacks go in the top 13 and both safeties, the Eagles have plenty of options to consider now at 14. I think this is huge for the Eagles to see Patrick Mahomes and the third quarterback go off the board.
All right, so the Philadelphia Eagles are now on the clock. And to make the selection for the Philadelphia Eagles, let's welcome in from EaglesBlitz.com. He also writes a column for PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the one and only Tommy Lawler. Tommy, who is the pick for the Eagles at number 14?
With the 14th pick, the Eagles are excited to take Gary and Conley, cornerback from Ohio State. Honestly, it's really a shock that he's fallen this far. There's a lot of people who think this guy's going to be a top 10 pick. And when you look at this young man, he had an outstanding season at Ohio State, was part of a great secondary that played at just an elite level this year. And Conley is a player that would help the Eagles immediately be able to come in and challenge for a starting job right away. One of the things that makes him so intriguing is the fact that he can play in the slot or outside, and that kind of versatility is something the Eagles' secondary needs. I think Jim Schwartz would love a player like Conley because he has outstanding ball skills, and Schwartz is a big believer in guys who are able to play the football. You don't just want a corner who can shut somebody down and prevent the ball from coming there, because this is the NFL. Passes are going to get thrown. You've got to be able to play the football when it comes to your guy, and Conley has outstanding ball skills. So you're getting a player who's got an excellent combination of size, speed, athleticism, ball skills, and the fact he's versatile just makes him an outstanding fit, because that allows you to try to figure out the best way to use a new guy like Patrick Robinson, a holdover like Jalen Mills. You mix in a player like Conley, and all of a sudden maybe you can cobble together, you know, what looks to be a pretty good secondary. The Eagles also, you know, had a strong consideration of taking wide receiver Corey Davis, the senior from Western Michigan. Had a great season. He had a great career. He's a player that the Eagles, I'm sure, would absolutely love to get their hands on. 6'3", 209 pounds. We don't have a 40 time for him. But if you put on his game tape, you can watch. This kid can run. He makes plays. He would be a great fit. And if somehow Conley is off the board, Corey Davis would make a ton of sense for the Eagles at pick 14. Carson Wentz needs weapons, and Corey Davis certainly would be a weapon.
Tommy, you did phenomenal work on your Eagles-only mock draft, which is posted now on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Who are some of your favorite mid-to-late-round targets who could be wearing midnight green before the end of the draft?
When we talk about some mid-to-late-round guys, this is a deep, loaded draft, so there's a lot of players that would make sense for the Eagles. One of my favorite players of the whole draft is a cornerback from San Diego State named DeMonte Casey. He had 17 interceptions in his career. And again, we talk about Jim Schwartz wanting guys with good ball skills. Well, there's a guy who not only can get his hands on the football, he catches it. You know, he's got outstanding hands. Those are not all just gimme catches. This guy can really make some plays. He's another player that would offer inside and outside versatility. He can play the slot. He can play outside. And he's not got ideal size at 5'10", 184 pounds, but he will hit and tackle. He is an aggressive physical player. He mainly played off coverage in college, but you watched him at a Senior Bowl, he could press and showed the ability to do whatever was asked of him, so he'd be an outstanding mid-round fit for the Eagles. Wide receiver, another guy from the Senior Bowl, a kid named Taywan Taylor, absolutely is a guy that is just a ton of fun to watch. And he could go as early as the second round, as late as the fourth round. It's just going to be interesting to see where he fits. But he's a player that shows some explosive traits, goes up for the football, aggressive, tough, had a ton of catches in college, just absolutely was fantastic at the Senior Bowl. He would make a lot of sense if the Eagles would want to find a receiver in the mid-rounds to add for Carson Wentz. There's a lot of running backs in this draft, and one of my favorites is a guy named Kareem Hunt from Toledo. He has a good combination of size, speed, power. But one of the things that really sticks out to me when I watch Hunt, he's a smart player. And when you talk about the kind of guys that Joe Douglas is going to want to bring to the Eagles, it's easy to get wowed by guys that have great speed or make dynamic moves. But, you know, if you can find enough smart players, there's something to be said for that. And don't get me wrong, Kareem Hunt, he's got some physical ability as well. But I just love when you watch this kid, you can tell he gets it. He's got a high football IQ, and that's something there's always room for in an offense like the one Doug Peterson and the Eagles run.
Tommy Lawler, our Fandemonium columnist, he's also at EaglesBlitz.com. Thank you so much. Now it's time to get into our pick six, six players who are options for the Eagles at number 14.
Now it's time for pick six.
All right, folks, it's time to present our case. We have six players who we think are options for the Eagles at number 14 based on the results of the Philadelphia Eagles reporter mock draft. Now, Garen Conley certainly in the discussion, but since Tommy selected him and went in depth on him, I think we can leave that one alone. So we're going to have six additional players to look at. I'm going to start things off here, and I'm going to make the case for cornerback Kevin King of Washington.
You got to pound the table. We're gonna literally pound the table.
Do we have a drop in there?
Yeah, I don't know if we got a drop, but we have a table.
We make our own sound effects here on Philadelphia.
I really don't want to break this table. This table's got to last us all weekend for the Eagles Draft Central show. So, all right, going for Kevin King, cornerback, Washington. Okay, first of all, production. All right, no question about the production being on the other side of Sidney Jones at Washington, playing against some of the best receivers in the Pac-12, helped Washington win the conference championship, get them to the college football playoff. And then when you look at the attributes, the size, you cannot teach. And he's a legit 6'3". This isn't a school media guide fluffing him up to 6'3". He is a legit 6'3". He had a phenomenal testing at the combine. You need someone with that size, the athleticism, to match up against some of these big receivers in the NFC East. And you know, Malcolm Jenkins said during his press conference earlier this week where pretty much every week it seems like they're facing a top-tier wide receiver here, okay? This is going to be a great situation. He gets to come in, can play on the opposite side of Jalen Mills, We can learn from guys like Patrick Robinson and Rodney McLeod and Malcolm Jenkins. To me, Kevin King is a guy the Eagles have to strongly consider there when you look at production, size, attributes, and the way he athletically performed in the pre-draft process.
You made a very strong case for Kevin King, and I would love that pick as well at 14. But the guy that I would just go bananas for is Western Michigan wide receiver Corey Davis. To have him fall to number 14, I think he's a top five player in this draft. You see everything you want from the wide receiver position in the NFL with Corey Davis. He's got size, and he is a legit 6'3", 210, 215. He looks the part in person. Then you go and you see his speed in the open field. He's great after the catch. He can go up and attack the football, but he's also very reliable in the quick game. Most importantly, he is a polished route runner, as polished as anybody you're going to see coming from the college ranks at the wide receiver position. And that's why, for me, Corey Davis is a kind of a rare bird for players coming out of the college ranks. Compares favorably to players like a Dez Bryant, like a Terrell Owens, and I think a lot of people have made that comparison, and I absolutely see it because of his size, his ability to make big plays down the field, and also win after the catch. I love Corey Davis. I think he'd be a great fit, and I think he's a future, quote-unquote, number one wide receiver.
That's fair enough. Kevin King, I think, is an outstanding player. Corey Davis, be very happy with. But when we got these first 13 picks and I looked at it and I looked at the guys who were still on the board, it was a very tough decision. But my number one player that I would take here, I'd pound the table for Mike Williams. I know you just talked about the wide receiver route, and I know some people will look at it and say, well, Alshon Jeffrey's here, and they just signed Torrey Smith. They've already kind of put a lot of resources into that position. But Mike Williams is the guy, true number one receiver, 6'4", 218 pounds, go up and get the ball. You put him with Carson Wentz for the next 10 years, and you go out and you win multiple Super Bowls with those two, because that's how good I think they could be together. Carson Wentz can put the ball up. He can learn at least for 1 year from Alshon Jeffrey. Could be longer than that if you pair the two together. You have two outstanding, tall, physical wide receivers on the outside. I think that is just the dream scenario for the Eagles. And again, he gets to learn from Alshon Jeffrey, and I just think it's perfect. I'd take Mike Williams with the 14th pick.
I forgot to pound the table, by the way, for Corey Davis. So there's me pounding the table for Corey Davis.
I was going to jump in there and say something, but you were already gushing over Corey at that point. So I figured I would take the rap. I would take the heat for not pounding the table properly enough. So we'll get things started the right way for my second pick here. Let's talk about some defense here. Okay? I went cornerback. Okay? Obviously, it's a position where you look at last year, Jim Schwartz did a lot with not a whole lot. Okay? Did a lot with a little. So to me, if he can get by with what he has, and plus it's a deep corner draft, you can get someone second, third rounds, okay? So how about linebacker? No one's all about linebacker. And you have Jordan Hicks, who has Pro Bowl potential and has a bright future here with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's been an amazing playmaker here. How about another sideline-to-sideline weapon in linebacker Reuben Foster from the Crimson Tide of Alabama, an absolute thumper, someone you could put in the middle of the defense. You could put Jordan Hicks on the weak side. There's been conversation about whether the Eagles should do that at some point anyway. Foster is considered, Greg Cosell said, a top three talent in this draft class. Now, of course, there's the off-field stuff, okay? There was the incident at the combine, which I think most teams have kind of brushed under the rug and said, all right, it's not that big a thing. It's one incident, okay? He had the diluted sample at the combine. That's something that has to be checked out a lot more closely. But you bring him into this environment, you have him come in here, this guy can be a playmaker. You're talking about adding difference makers to this football team. You want to help Carson Wentz, and certainly can give him more weapons, you can give him the receivers, but you can also get the offense back on the field and have the defense not giving up too many points, helping Carson out, and you can do that by improving the second level of this defense. And could you imagine the linebacker core by adding Reuben Foster to the mix?
That's a very strong case for Reuben Foster, and I would love that selection as well. I agree with Greg. I think he's a top three, top five player in this draft. But another player that I am just enthralled by, I don't even know if I used that term correctly, enthralled with, enthralled by, I don't even know. I'm just using words at this point.
You're just enthralled.
I'm just enthralled. Tre'Davious White from LSU, and I know he's a little bit off the board, and a lot of fans will say, oh, that's a reach. No one's talking about him at 14. Chris Collinsworth had him to the Eagles at 14 last week. Pete Prisco from CBS had him with the Eagles this week. There are some people that have Tre'Davious White that high. I personally also view Tre'Davious White as potentially the number one corner in this draft, period, ahead of players like a Marshawn Lattimore. I love Tre'Davious White, and here's why. He's got instincts, he's competitive, and he's got great ball skills. If you want to see ball skills, watch Tre'Davious White. Go back in his career. You can go back to the New Mexico State game and a play he made back in 2014 on a great interception. You can go back to plays against Mississippi State, against Alabama, against Auburn. Some outstanding plays playing the ball in the air. He's got outstanding ball skills. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's instinctive. He's tough. He's got everything you want for an NFL defensive back. When I look at Tre'Davious White, I think he's an NFL starter, and I think he's an impact player in the secondary. So I'm going to make it my case now for Tre'Davious White.
Last but not least, Alex.
Yes. So
come strong.
The case for my second player here, and kind of I think it relates back to Chris's second player and Reuben Foster, is that he's just too good to pass up. And if O.J. Howard is on the board at 14, I don't care if the Eagles have six tight ends on the roster. I don't care if they have 12 tight ends on the roster. I'm taking O.J. Howard because he is that good of a player. He's 6'6", 250 pounds, and he's an absolute monster. You think about how some teams are starting to build around tight ends these days. You know, the Eagles, of course, have Zach Ertz, but you look at the Rob Gronkowskis or the Travis Kelce's. Teams are building in the middle with dynamic playmakers that are mismatches for defense, and O.J. Howard would be the ultimate mismatch. You could do so many different things with him. And guys, I think the most exciting thing about him is we really don't know how good he is, because I think Alabama underused him. When you look at some of his numbers, they kind of ran that smash mouth, that running offense. They had a running quarterback the last year as well. So I think he was even a little bit underutilized when you think about it. So his potential is through the roof. So if O.J. Howard's on the board at 14, I'm running to the podium to take him.
Folks, those are six players. Wow, we did a pen spike. I don't know if that's ever happened here.
Well, he can't drop
before
the mic, because that would be an issue with accounting. Yeah.
Nonetheless, six players who are options for the Eagles at number 14. Now it's time for our unofficial visit. Tennessee cornerback Cam Sutton is the interview subject, and he was interviewed at the Senior Bowl by none other than Fran Duffy. Douglas.
The unofficial visit.
Here now with Tennessee cornerback Cam Sutton. And Cam, first to start it off, for those who have yet to see you play, can you give us a quick scouting report?
Just a versatile, you know, player, you know, not just limited to just playing one position. Just bring a lot of value, a lot of playmaking to the team or any organization, and just willing to compete, you know, and just bring that same mentality each and every day.
What is it that sets yourself apart from some of the other cornerbacks in this class?
Like I said, my versatility, you know. Like I said, not just limiting myself and just saying I'm a cornerback, you know, being able to play safety as well as nickel, you know, moving around and just my competitive nature, my special teams value, did a lot of special teams, did a lot of returning game as well. So I think I have a lot of offer to the table.
You came in and you started right away as a true freshman, yes, a four-year starter. You started every game up until that injury this year. Yes, a lot of people thought you were going to be out for the year, and you came back. What was that like facing that adversity this year as a senior?
It's a mentality, you know, just how you know, carry yourself. You know, you have to will yourself out of a lot of things, and that was something, you know, a big, you know, part for me. Obviously, with that going on in my senior year, I'm not what I wanted to go through, but I had to. You know, I didn't really embrace that process though. Didn't hang my head at all. You know, never had a down day. Just continued to work each and every day. Because I know I have a big impact, especially on my teammates and my coaches, and they see that, you know, and they feed off that energy. So I know how to bring it each and every day, regardless if I was feeling my worst or my best at the time. They see that, like I said, and they feed off of that, and I have to bring it.
One of the things that I thought has always stood out about your game over the last few years has been your ball skills.
Yes, sir.
Is that something you think is natural that's always come to you, or is that something you worked on every year at Tennessee?
Worked on pretty much. I've been playing sports since I was 4 years old, so not just football, but basketball and baseball as well. And all the sports tie into each other, whether it's change direction, locating the ball, you know, catching, you know, all those different skills, you know, playing to each other. So don't just limit yourself and just saying, oh, I'm just gonna play football or just gonna play basketball or baseball. You know, do them all because they all tie into each other. And I just, you know, continue to work on those skills on my own time, or you know, while I'm in the sport as well. and definitely just, you know, picked up that natural skill and turned it into, you know, something bigger than what it was.
Obviously, being at Tennessee, you've dealt with a lot of players that have gone on to play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. What's one trait that you know moving into the league that you know you've got to have, either mentally or physically?
I say mentally. You know, it's a mental grind, you know, not just on the field but off the field as well. And then the character piece, you know, how you carry yourself on the field and off the field, you know, that's a big thing. Just continue to be humble, you know, continue to work hard and continue to compete every day, because not every day is promised. You know, not every day is going to be the same. And people have to realize that. Players have to realize that it's a job now. And at this stage, it's a job, and it can be taken away from you at any point. So it's just the mentality that you have to bring each and every day. And then when you're out there, you know, just be productive and do what you're supposed to do and have fun while you're doing it.
Cam, last question for you. What's one area of your game, based off the feedback you've gotten from scouts, that you definitely want to improve on moving into the league?
Being a more sure tackler. You know, it's not a lack of desire of wanting to tackle, obviously. That's my job. You know, just finishing tackles off, finishing shedding blocks and getting off of blocks as well. Like I said, it's not a lack of desire of it. Just continue to, you know, work on that and get better at that as well.
Awesome. Well, Cam, appreciate the time.
I appreciate
Best
it.
Of luck throughout the process.
Thank you so much.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
Get a little missy eye, gentlemen. It is the last draft mailbag edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA ahead of the 2017 NFL Draft, which again is right here in the city of brotherly love. I hope that all of you out there listening will be some of the 200,000 expected to attend this weekend's festivities. It's going to be an amazing time. And you have a chance to not only meet Eagles legends and current players like Jaws or Trotter or Carson Wentz or Zach Ertz, you can meet Alex Smith.
You can meet me as well. I think I'm kind of at the top of that list of all those players that, you know, or not players, of people that fans would want to see. So, yeah, come by and say hi. I'd love to get your thoughts on what the Eagles should do in this draft.
All right. Time for our draft mailbag. Fran, you lead the way.
So, just talked with Cam Sutton, that senior boy. Just heard that interview with Unofficial Visits. And that takes me into the first question in our mailbag. It comes from probably one of the smartest listeners to this podcast that you're going to find, at FDuffy3 on Twitter, who asks, I want to hear one example of, quote unquote, my guy from you both on days 2 and 3. Pick one player that if you could pick one dream to happen, this is the guy you could get somehow, some way. I think back to a couple years ago, I mentioned Jordan Hicks is our guy, and that came true. We were all happy about Jordan Hicks. Who is that example for you guys, day 2, day 3 in this draft?
Alex, would you like to start?
I've been kind of like racking my brain about this one. I'm having trouble just narrowing it down to one guy. I think there's a couple names to look at here. One of them is Sidney Jones, and I think we'll talk more about Sidney Jones in a little bit. And it depends on, you know, do you take him in the second round, do you take him in the third round? This guy was considered the best corner in this draft before his injury, and I know the Achilles injury can be just, you know, terrible for a player, and it can have lingering effects for the rest of their career. But if Sidney Jones is available on the second day, I think I would think about it. I know Zay Jones is a wide receiver who would be really interesting, especially in this Eagles offense, as a potential day two kind of player. And then day three, I think there are some other guys that we've kind of thrown around before. I'll mention Ben Bulwer just to make Fran angry, but at this point, I'm just hoping that happens just so I can see what Fran says. But
that's a great pick.
Yeah, I would say those are my guys day 2, day 3.
One guy who stood out to me, and when looking at highlights, is a day 3 guy who's Ben Bulwer's teammate at Clemson. That's running back Wayne Gallman, someone very fluid. Someone who could be dynamic as a running back in between tackles but can move around the formation as well, was such a great special weapon in the championship game against Alabama. You know, when I watched him, I was like, you know, how big is he? Doesn't seem like he's a bigger back, but he's got good size for the position. You know, again, he's not going to be someone – he didn't test off the charts at the combine, so he's not going to be in that consideration for probably day 2, but he's probably someone you're looking as a fourth-round selection who was very productive at Clemson, a big part of – big reason why those teams got to back-to-back national championship game appearances, winning the one against Alabama. I think Wayne Gallman would be my guy for my crush, so to speak, there on day 3.
So the reason why I thought about this question to ask for you guys was because we knew we were going to have Cam Sutton on today's show. He absolutely would be in that category for me as a guy that I would love day 2 or day 3. I've loved him throughout the process. I want to put Taywan Taylor, though, as my guy. And I love Taywan. To me, I think he's the fourth best receiver in this class. I think he's closer to the top three than he is to the next tier. Like, I'm a big, big fan of Taywan Taylor. But he didn't stand out in particular at the Senior Bowl. Alex, I know we didn't really see him make a ton of flash plays down there. Mm-hmm. His combine testing was good. It wasn't great. But I look at Taywan Taylor, the football player, and I think he's just outstanding. So he would be a guy for me. Like, if we draft Taywan Taylor, whether it's second round, third round, fourth round, whatever it is, instead of just doing a film breakdown with Greg, I'm going to talk to our producer, Ray Doyle. I'm going to say, just cut over to that studio, and you're just going to be a close-up of my face, just this big grin on my face. I love Taywan Taylor. I think he would be an outstanding selection for the Eagles in the middle rounds.
I love it. It's amazing for you, Fran, because I'm sure it's like picking your favorite child.
It is. It's very close to that. And he, I would consider him one of my favorite children. All right, next question comes from at Austin Spangler on Twitter. Over under 1.5 number of trades for the Eagles during the draft.
This is a great question.
Great question.
And I'm going to take the over, actually.
Yeah.
Not in the first round. I will say that I don't think that the Eagles are going to trade either up or down in the first round. But, you know, Howie Roseman has even said it in the past that when he's got, you know, large, like, stretches in between picks, he sits there, he gets antsy, he has to go outside and run around on the field for a little bit just to kind of take his mind off of it. But I think that, you know, the Eagles have a good amount of picks to work with here. And I just – it's kind of the way Howie Roseman likes to operate. He likes to make those trades. He likes to, you know, see what's out there. He's always going to answer the phone and see what other teams are offering. So I go over. I say the Eagles make two trades during the draft.
I would agree. I was struggling with this one. I definitely think that Howie is going to make a move or two. Maybe there's a trade for the 2018 draft that could be involved in this as well. But it's hard to imagine a whole weekend going by and Howie not making any moves. I don't know if Joe Douglas will have any effect on it. I mean, Joe Douglas is setting the board, but pretty much from this point on, it's Howie Roseman, you know, following it long and then, you know, picking the players for the Eagles. But I'm sure that he's going to want to make a move or two, not just for the sake of it, not just because he's bored and twiddling his fingers, but, you know, try to accumulate some extra value. Maybe a guy slips down a little farther than expected, and Howie and the Eagles want to jump on him. So I'm going to go over as well.
I tend to think over, but since you guys both said over, I'm going to go under. Next question. This is from at TalkinReal32 on Twitter, and this is before, obviously, he knew who the pick was for the Eagles at 14 in our mock draft. Is Garyon Conley a true top talent, or did he rise more because other top corners fell due to injuries and other circumstances? So obviously referring to Sidney Jones' injury, Tease Tabor's 40 time, other extenuating circumstances.
I think he is a true top talent. You know, he's probably lost in a shuffle because of Marshawn Lattimore, is a flashy player, because of Malik Hooker and his 7 interceptions at the safety position. You know, Conley was like the glue guy who could line up anywhere in the formation, was always in the right place, can also, you know, make plays on the ball as well. It's just when you're considered the third guy in your own secondary, it's hard for other people to say, well, this guy should be the top guy. I think the only guy who really impacted his position at this point is Sidney Jones. But outside of that, I think it's teams love him, and it's the typical everyone else is slow to catch up to see how good he is.
I two things I would throw in there, too. You heard Malcolm Jenkins talk on Monday about the more you watch Garyon Conley, the more you like him. And that's, I 110% agree with that statement, because that's how it was for me. I liked him when I first watched him. I didn't love him. And then you keep watching him, and you like him more and more and more and more because of the kind of plays that he makes. And then Joe Douglas mentioned that he wasn't a fast riser because of combine or anything else. He was a fast riser because the media had to catch up to the way the teams felt about him, and we're kind of catching up to how the NFL's always known that Garyon Conley was a top prospect. So I thought that was very interesting as well.
Yeah, that was going to be my point exactly, just falling back to what Joe Douglas said. Teams have known about Garyon Conley for a long time, and they've had him rated highly on their boards for a long time as well. It just kind of took the media and, you know, some of those other people a little bit more time to figure that out as well.
Going back to your pick 6 earlier, Fran, I'm surprised you didn't mention Joe Douglas's comments about Tre'Davious White, how he just raved about him at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he did rave about him at the Senior Bowl. I just love myself some Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, Fran doesn't want to hype up Tre'Davious White too much on this podcast out of fear that someone else will then take him. Because of
I don't
how
think
much
anybody takes my opinion that seriously.
I don't know about that.
The Tre'Davious White, man, he's a baller. But all right, next question. At Philly Eagle 60, would you draft Sidney Jones in round 2 if corner was not the first round pick for the Eagles at 14?
No. And I don't know if I draft him in the second round regardless of who selected at number 14. We were talking about this before we started recording the podcast, and I don't know, I can't think off the top of my head of a cornerback who's come back from an Achilles injury. I'm sure it's happened. You know, you see ACL, see guys come back from that, but an Achilles is a different situation. Darrell Revis, he only had ACL, right? He never had.
I don't think he tore his Achilles. I don't believe so.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of big-time corners who have come back from big injuries.
I think if it had happened earlier in the offseason, maybe it would help because then he'd be further along in the rehab process. And I don't know where teams are right now in terms of getting the feedback from his surgery and things like that. To me, if you get the feedback from that and you think, oh, he's gonna be healthy and we think he's going to be 100%, like, then maybe. But the thing is, and you should keep this in mind, if the Eagles don't take a corner in round one and then you take Sidney Jones in round two, you can't count on Sidney Jones to make an impact in 2017. Yes. You can't count on it. He might, but you can't count on it.
Yeah, I would struggle with the idea of drafting him at number 43. Unless the only way I think that the Eagles could take him in the second round is if by chance they trade back in the first and maybe they pick up an extra late second or an early third, somewhere around there. If you can pick up an extra pick somewhere in that second to third round range, then maybe you can risk it. I don't know if the Eagles are in a position where they can risk it right now, given the need that they have at the cornerback spot. I think he's a tremendous player. And, of course, you feel terrible for him that this happened to him because this guy was probably a top 10 player, a month ago or however long ago it was before he got injured. So, it's a shame. But at 43 might be a little bit of too much of a risk for the Eagles to take him.
It seems like that these medical red shirts don't tend to work out. I know the Niners were really utilizing that avenue for a couple years. I'm trying to think of the South Carolina running back.
Lattimore.
Marcus Lattimore.
Marcus Lattimore. Didn't they also take the Clemson?
The Clemson guard, Brandon Thomas.
Brandon Thomas. Moves. Not to say that should preclude you from never doing it again, but, it seems like a wise move where, all right, stash a guy, give him the injury redshirt year, then bring him back. It doesn't always work out there. So I think the Eagles need to focus on getting good players, and certainly you want guys with as clean a bill of health as possible.
Yeah, I think to me you'd have to feel really good about his recovery when based off the feedback after surgery in order to take him that high. Last question. Professor Wentz on Twitter. That's great. It's a great handle. How much does it take to move up to draft one Leonard Fournette, players and picks to move up? And I'm going to add on to that question. Where do you need to move up to get Leonard Fournette? We know where it was in this draft.
I think my answer is, and if the question is how much does it take, I think the answer is too much.
Good one.
I think you would probably have to move up before Carolina, like we talked about. But there's a chance Jacksonville takes him there. There's a chance the Jets take him like they did in our mock draft here. So you, to be safe, if you want to be sure that you're trading up and you're going to get Leonard Fournette, you might have to move up to pick 3. And that it's just way too much, and I don't think that the Eagles are in a spot to do it. Now, is there a chance that he falls to the Eagles? Maybe, because you never know what's going to happen during the draft. But it's too rich to trade up, I think.
I would probably say, even if you're being conservative and saying, all right, let me get to number 7 where Los Angeles is. It's a first, it's a third, and maybe another mid to late round pick on top of it.
Yep.
And
For a running back,
it's a lot. You have a lot of needs on this football team. The Eagles need to get good quality football players, and there's a lot of ramifications of taking Leonard Fournette. Could he possibly be this once-in-a-generation type talent? I don't know if he's quite that, but you're going to have to tweak the offense. You're going to change the offense to, sustain and kind of fit the skill set that Leonard Fournette brings to the table. He's not a guy that you're giving the ball to 10, 12 times a game. You got to feed him like a workhorse back. And we didn't see that from the Eagles last year. Now, did they have the type of back they could do it with? No, but that's one of the things that I'm interested to find out when it comes to the Eagles and how they approach running back here is, do they want a guy who they could say he's our guy who's going to touch the ball 20 times each and every week?
Yeah, I think the question is, how does he fit the Eagles offense? Because the Eagles like to run the ball out of the shotgun because they always like to have that read option potential with a guy like Carson Wentz. I mean, that's one of the things that he brings to the table is his athleticism. So they like to run out of the shotgun to always give them that extra option if that ends crashing down where Carson can just pull it and take off with it for a big gain. So I think they like that part of the offense. And I think Leonard Fournette is more of that DeMarco Murray style, best when he's running out of the I formation, has a chance to get going downhill. So you would have to change some things up.
All right, gentlemen. That's going to do it for us here. That is the journey.
This has been the journey.
The journey is almost over.
I can't wait.
This has been the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. Again, our Eagles Draft Central preview show presented by Dietz and Watson is going to drop on Wednesday. On Thursday, our live wall-to-wall coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the Eagles mobile app, as well as are we going to stream on Periscope the whole time? As well,
I don't think the whole time. I think
portions of it. Yes, and we'll also have portions of the show on Facebook Live as well. Again, I'll be in the studio on Thursday with Ross Tucker, Greg and Fran will be in the other studio getting ready for film breakdown. Dave Spadaro will be embedded in the draft room with the top tier members of the organization, and Alex Smith will be down on the Ben Franklin Parkway, hopefully getting the chance to interview the first round pick. We want to thank you all for your support all throughout the course of this draft season. The podcast has been peaking on Stitcher in the top sports podcast the last couple of weeks. Thank you so much for that. A special shout out to Brian Thomas and Melissa Kelly, who have done a phenomenal job of producing the podcast all throughout our time here. So again, live coverage begins 7:30 p.m. on Thursday night. We hope that you'll join us. For all of us here at the Philadelphia Eagles, you've been listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.